Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
All right, what's the report from outside?
I was outside for maybe 3 minutes. I counted 8 Q-tips. It's got to be one person that just throws their Q-tips out the window when they're done using them in their cars.
It's Mike Shope.
One person?
More than one person using Q-tips and throwing them outside?
I don't think I use 8 Q-tips in a year.
I think I've never used 8 Q-tips.
And the Bulldog.
What the hell is going on out there? Q-tips, I don't think I want to work in a place where people like roll their windows down if they're using Q-tips for Lord knows what and just throw them on the ground.
Well, you do.
What, is it the 70s?
Oh, that's not very nice.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Driving on the highway 65 miles an hour. You know, I get a little left in my soda from the fast food drive out the window. That was the 70s. Who gives an F about anything?
Throw a burrito out the window.
Nothing matters. 2025, what are you doing?
On WGR.
Throwing Q-tips out of your car.
Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back. 803-0550 if you want to chat with us. Sal sent me a tweet. He's got a check mark, so you're allowed to tweet at length. If you have the check mark.
I see. Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One of those?
Yeah.
This is a guy.
Show more. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a long. Yeah. It's almost an essay, this tweet.
You're asking a lot.
About the Dolphins. A reporter named Chris Kaufman. Sal, I think, said something like, you know, he seems to know what's up. So maybe Sal knows him, or just is saying that. But so there's this report that they're talking about trading Jonnu Smith. And 3 hours ago, we went in on that because, like, what might it say about Miami's plan? Why are they trading a tight end who went to the Pro Bowl? Why are they even trading Jalen Ramsey if they do? They haven't done these things yet, but the speculation is that Miami is looking to do these things. So why? And you talked about maybe they're ready to reshape their locker room.
Right.
Maybe there's that to talk about to consider. I kind of wonder if they're just sort of ready to back up more along the lines of the Bills when Brandon Bean got here and, you know, kind of how the Sabres are now. You don't want to be here, fine. Something like that. I don't know that the reputation is that bad in Miami.
No, I don't think it's that guys don't want to be there. It might be that they like being there a little too much, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like it's you know, why are you going to Miami? It's Miami.
That boat Diggs was on is in Miami.
Right. And I'm going to play some football. And they're going to pay me like a ridiculous amount of money every week. But I'm going to do it in Miami. And maybe that is a part of the problem.
This reporter, Kaufman, is talking about how he doesn't think it's tanking. I don't think it would be tanking either.
It wouldn't make sense. They've got a quarterback under contract for huge money. The GM and the coach are not new at all. In fact, they're kind of at the end of their line here if they don't win. So that would be a really weird move. Like it would stun me if the owner went to them and said, you know, do what you got to do. I'll give you time. I just don't think that's where they're at, and I don't perceive that owner to be that way. At least not with these guys right now, anyway.
I'm not sure I fully understand the writer's take, but he does say, like, I don't think tanking is right. I don't think tanking would be, I don't know. I don't think it would be right either, but it's not what you do when you're pushing.
No, that's also right.
And Miami should pick a lane, and this has been true for a while. And I don't know if before it was really, like, a problem. I mean, last year, what were they supposed to do last year? What did they do last year? They had injuries last year, but what did they do anything that read like rebuilding? Not that I can think of. I mean, they added. I mean, they were in the playoffs the year before.
Right.
They went to Kansas City. It was minus 20. So that seemed right. Now they're maybe in kind of a purgatory, the Dolphins. And perhaps it's the right move to dump a couple good players. I mean, you're not going to get anything for the bad ones, so you do that. I wonder where that leaves Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill, at the beginning of the offseason, sounded like he wanted to be traded, or at the end of the regular season,
right,
he wanted to be traded. Then he softened on that. He also has an injury. Like, I don't think he's participating in their stuff. He has a wrist injury, I think. He wasn't supposed to be available this spring, so I don't know if that precludes anything, but nobody seems that excited for the Dolphins anymore.
No.
2 years ago, very excited. Last year, only a little bit. Now
I was still pretty excited about them last year. I thought they would be the biggest problem the Bills had. Now, I don't know. Did it turn out that they still kind of were? I don't really know. Like, were they second in the division last year? Like, how did that shake out? I don't remember now. They had big injuries last year, and it kind of unraveled. I don't know, man. I haven't read this piece, so I haven't read a lot of analysis on it. But I'm still going to, until I hear a better theory, I'm going to stand with they are going addition by subtraction. This is our last chance. I don't like this guy. I don't like his attitude. Something about whomever. And that's why they want to clear the deck there. However good the guy is, it's not enough to overcome the negatives. And I want to have guys in here that I can trust if I'm on my last legs. That's how I read Greer and McDaniel right now. Not knowing who specifically the problem guys are there, but I just know there was a lot of reporting last year about just the thing was run amok. McDaniel did not have command of that team. So that's part of the reason why I am expecting them to really spiral this year, because I think you go into a year with a guy, if you don't make dramatic changes, maybe they will get better if they remove the right guys. And again, I don't know that that's what's absolutely behind these guys, but it stands to reason if you've got locker room problems and your coach and GM are nearing the end of their cycle, then they're going to try to do something to change that outcome. Because if they don't believe with all the talent they had that they can win, then you got to try something before you get shown the door. That's my best guess is what's going on there. But again, I don't know for sure that adds up. But otherwise, I don't think tanking would make sense. There's no way to me that owner would give them that wide a berth. Oh, yeah, let's start over. We'll draft another quarterback and give him a $60 million a year contract eventually. Like, we just gave Tua 55 or whatever they gave him. There's no way that's happening. Those guys are tied to Tua. They got to win with Tua. And if they don't, they're getting fired.
That was always the case.
Yeah.
you only have so much time.
So it might be misguided, but I think what they're trying to do is trying to get better by doing whatever they're doing here. Because nothing else really makes sense to me. I don't know. There could be some part of this that I'm missing that's obvious, but I don't know.
Well, we have some experience with this. Certainly, we have enough experience talking about other teams, too, in this situation. It almost seems like there's no right answer. Like, living in Allen's division, it's just not enviable.
Right.
What are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to shoot for? The Dolphins, 2 years ago, the Dolphins got a lot right. I mean, they had the 70-point game. Ultimately, the season ends with the loss to the Bills on the Sunday night and then the loss to Kansas City in the playoffs, but it's not like there's much shame in that. They lost enough other games. They lost the game to the Titans. They lost enough other games to cost them. But if they're – again, I'm not 100% on this, but I think at least there was this scenario that day. I think if the Dolphins had beaten the Bills in the Sunday night game, they would have played again the next week. And so what happens then? I don't remember thinking this is great for the Bills' chances to make a run if they have to go in as the 7 or the 6 or whatever that is.
To visit Miami in the wild card round, yeah.
But I would think that they would win because they always beat that team. They would have just lost that night.
Right.
I don't know. It wouldn't have seemed so bad. Miami still would have had to do a thing they have not been very good at, which is to take this team out. And they came pretty close that season to being set up to do it, but they still didn't really, they never did it. They still never had the chance to do it in the playoffs. And so what are your odds, Like, Tua is okay. Coach is okay. Team is okay. We had those teams in the drought. We had a few of those teams. The Bills weren't usually terrible. They were usually mid or just below in the hunt.
Right.
Every year they were in the hunt, which, they were 6-7 or something, and then, wouldn't get there. But what were you supposed to do about it? Just keep drafting quarterbacks, fine. maybe your odds aren't great outside of round one ever. I mean, I like that idea then. It was kind of fun to play with. Miami has attached themselves to a player where, you know, now it's weird.
Yeah.
If you start drafting a possible replacement, that's its own.
Yeah. I wonder how much of whatever, you know, personalities, locker room divisiveness, whatever, can come from a lot. It could just be the wrong collection of guys and a few guys more than you want go with the bad crowd, and the next thing you know, you got problems. Maybe on multiple fronts. But I wonder how much of any of it is generated out of their lack of faith in Tua and the coach, McDaniel, to actually be able to deliver. The fact that they go on the road in that playoff game and just cannot function. You know, these guys know they're playing in the NFL. They might have to play in some conditions that are not 80 and sunny. And time over time here, that quarterback and that coach have not been able to find a way to make it work. And they very much look like a one-trick pony. The trick was really good because it's predicated on speed, elite speed, and like you're gonna win. You're gonna beat a lot of teams in the league. You're gonna beat a lot of bad to average teams if you got that. But you need more, and they've never been able to find their way to more. As good as like as explosive as their running backs have been, they're not like plow horse, like let's just, you know, move the pile, you know, type running game. It's not, there's not power. Everything about them is finesse. And maybe they're just too far in that direction and guys just don't believe in it. we're stuck. They've committed to a guy that if it's 30 degrees, we're screwed. And my entire offense is screwed. I mean, I don't know, man. And last year, even without Tua, McDaniel, you're living in a league where guys find their ways. I mean, Stefanski with the Browns, your name here playing quarterback, they made the playoffs. Other teams have gotten through games. LaFleur with the Packers, they've gotten through while their guy was on the shelf. And last year, McDaniel, like they could not do anything on offense, no matter what they tried, without Tua. And that is very negative on the coach, I think.
Yeah, Green Bay won games with Malik Willis. At least a couple. I like that point. 803-0550 to join us. I thought of the other thing from this morning I was going to mention before.
Oh, okay.
I went to the store.
How'd that work out?
I love the store. Only for a few things.
I like going to the store, too. I don't ever go anymore to, like, fill up the cart. You know, like I used to go to the big grocery store every couple weeks and get, you know, lots, like, you know, $200 worth. Just the cart is full. It's going to, hey, kids, I'm coming home. I need help with the groceries.
That's not 200 anymore.
Yeah, I know. that's absolutely right. Plus, you know, the cottage was a thing like that, too, where you'd buy a lot of stuff at once to take up there for weeks at a time, hopefully. Now I go to the store and it's just like, I just need like 3, 4, 5 things. And it's, you know, it's right around the corner from my house. It's an easy stop on the way home, whatever. I like going to the store too. I smile when I go to the store.
By the way, you can take food across?
We did.
Okay. But maybe you're not allowed to?
It's some.
I never want to take, because there are times where like last weekend I was in Canada. One of us is there like every day now. Or both. Tonight it'll be both. There was a particular like fresh food store that looked good to me, but I immediately thought, I'm not allowed to take that across. Mm. Whatever the gross, like you can't take fruit across.
Fruit,
right?
I didn't do that, but I would bring meat and other things.
Okay.
Always, I would declare, like Nexus, especially like beer. Like I would tell, like, this is what I've got.
Yep.
And not lie about it because I wouldn't want to get busted there because of the goodbye Nexus.
I always do that. So I was in the mood for some chips. And I saw Himalayan sea salt and vinegar chips.
Himalayan.
You know,
there's a new twist on the sea salt.
This happened right in front of us and we didn't even know it. There was salt and vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was sea salt and vinegar. Like somebody in marketing decided it's better if it's sea salt, which maybe it's different. And now it's Himalayan sea salt and vinegar. It's just keeps getting, well, higher. Now we need that. Is that, do you think about, is that actually a selling point?
Mountain sea salt. Okay.
That seems like a lot of work for chips.
Yeah, yeah. This feels, you know what this feels like to me? Didn't we just recently talk about how during our lifetimes, the seats at sporting events, venues, stadiums, arenas, have all, like baseball, like everything is a box, everything is a loge something, and really it's just like the crappiest seat in the house, but it has a nice title. So when you look at it online, you're like, oh, this has got to be a nice, this is probably pretty nice. No. It's not really, just has a nicer name. That's what Himalayan sea salt sounds like to me.
Is it really Himalayan?
How hard are you trying?
Is it really Himalayan?
How can I authenticate this? Where it's in chips. The Himalayas did this come from? Can you give me the name of a Sherpa? Like, I'm going to need some more information here.
I don't need it in the first place, Himalayan.
Right.
You know?
Who does?
I mean, it's not top chip anyway. Salt and vinegar, I like that they exist once in a while.
Yeah.
If you see them out in a bowl at a party or something, okay. But I'm never buying even if it is Himalayan, the salt and vinegar chip.
I will occasionally buy a sea salt, cracked pepper.
That's another one.
Yeah, right.
Cracked pepper.
That's new. Sea salt and cracked pepper.
It's not pepper. It's cracked pepper.
Right. Which, it's all cracked. The pepper.
It is eventually cracked.
Yeah, you're not getting whole kernels of pepper. Are they called kernels? You're not getting like,
I don't know,
whole whatever, a whole piece, you know, the kind of
giant pieces,
yeah, pieces, the kind that are in the grinder that you grind up for fresh pepper on your dinner. That wouldn't work on a chip.
Cracked
so
pepper,
they're all cracked to begin with. There's no such thing as a chip
uncracked.
With uncracked pepper.
No,
it would roll off.
It was just pepper, now it's cracked pepper.
Like, hey, have some chips with some pepper-flavored ball bearings on them.
Do you have the different colors of pepper at home? White. I have white pepper, pink, Himalayan pepper.
We've got some pink.
We're back to the Himalayas.
We've got some pink salt, I think.
Pink salt.
I don't know about pink pepper.
I think I have both.
We have white. I've seen white. And
green peppercorns? I have green peppercorns.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that.
They're really old, but I don't know.
They're not just moldy?
I don't know, but they're not green because they were originally moldy.
Okay, the label says green?
Yes.
Okay.
But the recipe never calls for green peppercorns.
I've never heard of that. Yeah.
You really have to be in deep.
Yeah.
I think. Maybe I should just experiment.
Maybe you should Google recipes with green peppercorn.
Maybe.
Use that stuff up. Don't be wasteful.
Maybe you're right.
You have it in the house.
I have it in the house. By the way, I didn't even ask you. We didn't get to it. Do you think talking about trading for players is worth doing in the next 2 months?
I think almost anything is worth doing. Do I think it's realistic?
Listen to the conversation we just had.
Yeah. I mean,
you can't talk about NFL trades?
I'm going to stand on this peppercorn conversation. I think it's highly unlikely, so I don't think it's very realistic, but, you know, I also don't think it's very realistic to think that Mitch Marner is going to choose the Buffalo Sabres for his next NHL team. But I do like I think it's an interesting theoretical, you know, kind of thought experiment for fans. So, I don't know. Trey Hendrickson maybe is the biggest name you might want to consider. Although we did talk about Jalen Ramsey a bit today, not particularly as it pertains to the Bills trading for him, and I don't want them to, but there is a big-name guy out there at a position the Bills have addressed, and I think that's why I think it's unrealistic. I mean, they've poured a lot into edge already in the whole defensive line to begin with. I can't really fathom them making a big move like that now for that player.
Right, what do they need now?
Right.
And the wide receiver, I feel like they've planted their flag.
That's over, yeah. Same here.
They said Brandon Bean went public with how outrageous he thought it was to think that they haven't addressed wide receiver. He signed Elijah Moore immediately after that tirade or whatever you want to call it. So he actually still had, you know, interest in one more. But when that, after he did that and before Moore was signed, I thought he kind of you know, showed his cards. Like, they're not adding anybody now. They did with Elijah Moore, but really, he's telling you in a raw way,
we're done.
I'm good here. We've
teams on the floor.
We had a great season. Added Palmer, now Elijah Moore too. So, like, Terry McLaurin wants a new deal. Without all of that, I think I might be thinking about that. I can't imagine Washington wants to move on from him. By the way, quickly, his stat lines for his career are really amazing. McLaurin, not a player we ever talk about, but look at the consistency if you want to look him up. Sal Capaccio on with us earlier. A lot of time on Elijah Moore, who he recently spoke with. That's coming up next. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.